Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you all to the Q3 and 9 months FY25 post earnings conference call of Control Print Limited. Today on the call from the management, we have with us Mr. Shiva Kabra, Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Jaideep Barve, Chief Financial Officer. As a disclaimer, I would like to inform all of you that this call may contain forward-looking statements which may involve risks and uncertainties. Also, a reminder that this call is being recorded. I would now request the management to detail us about the business performance highlights for the quarter, the growth plans and visions for the coming year, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Over to the management team.
Hello everybody. My name is Jaideep Barve and I'm the Chief Financial Officer of Control Print Limited. Welcome you all to the earnings conference call for the third quarter of the financial year 24-25 of Control Print Limited. We appreciate that you have taken out time from your busy schedule to attend this call. First of all, let me wish you and your families a happy new year. Mr. Shiva Kabra, the Joint Managing Director of Control Print Limited, also joins me on this call. For first-time joiners on the earnings call, more information about CPL can be obtained by visiting our website. Just for your information, the detailed presentation has already been put up on the website as well as in the investor presentation notification on the exchanges for this call. Now, let me provide you some highlights for the performance of CPL for the third quarter of FY24-25 on a standalone basis. Revenue from operations. On a standalone basis, the total income for the third quarter is approximately 95 crores. This is a good growth from approximately 84 crores in the third quarter of the previous year. Just for information, the FY23-24 and FY22-23 income was 347 crores and 295 crores respectively. This trend, revenue trend actually augurs well for our company, and we look forward to ending FY24-25 with a solid revenue. Pipes, food, dairy, steel and metal, cable and wire continue to be our top five verticals. We also have two divisions which we are planning to focus on apart from the coding and marking. One is the track and trace and the other is the packaging division, where we feel there's a lot of scope for improvement in the revenue. On the expenses and the profitability level, I would like to state that the Q3 COGS is a little bit higher as compared to the quarter two of this year and quarter three of the last financial year. The primary reason for this increase in COGS is because there's been the change in the product mix of the revenue. That said, management remains committed to optimize the procurement costs as well, and we definitely look closely into the economy, efficiency, and effectiveness of operations. This, we feel, can definitely lead to reduction in the operating costs going forward. Employee costs, depreciation, manufacturing costs, other expenses, they have been incurred in line with the business needs and requirements. The EBITDA and the PAT growth was at negative 1.86% and positive 5.19% on a year-on-year basis. For us, the way forward, we believe, is increased revenue expected in the packaging business, both in India and overseas, better penetration in the track and trace segment, with strong orders in the pipeline. Our overseas subsidiaries will continue to be monitored by us with focused growth targets. For coding and marking, which is the main revenue for us, the change sales strategy to focus on bigger and key accounts will definitely result in both the jump in the revenue as well as ensuring a good quality of revenue. Our installed base will be increased and we'll focus on increasing our larger market share. With now, the floor is open for questions.
Thank you, Jaideep. All those who wish to ask a question may use the option of raise hand. In case you're unable to raise hand, you may put a question in the chat box and we'll call you to ask a question. Jaideep, before we move to the Q&A, could you throw some light on the reasons for the soft performance in the standalone business and the lower gross margins in Q3, and what is leading to this phenomenon?
I wouldn't call this actually a soft performance because the revenue continues to be robust and we've got a good pipeline of orders. In fact, the Q4, we will be ending on a strong revenue performance on a standalone basis. There has been a bit of increase in the cost of goods sold as well as the SG expenses. For the cost of goods sold, investors would know that majority of our revenue comes from consumables, and some portion comes from the printers, the AMC services, and the spare parts revenue. We have got a change in the product mix, so more number of printers have been sold in the current quarter. Since the cost of goods sold for the printers is higher, we find a reduction in the overall gross profit for the coding and marking division. When it comes to the increase in the overheads, which is basically the general administration overheads, there has been some increase in the traveling expenses for sure. We've been trying to, you know, like also put up our in exhibitions in India as well as overseas. So there is an increase in the number of exhibitions as well. And there's some bit of rise in expense as because the Q3 has got lots of festivals. So, you know, like in line with the Diwali or Christmas or New Year, the sales and promotion activities were increased in this quarter.
Okay. We have a first question from the line of Aniket. Aniket, you can go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you so much. So I just wanted to ask you that this time you have highlighted a slide on V-shapes especially. So can you throw some light on this opportunity and potential for this product considering its pricing?
Yeah, Shiva, you want to take this question?
Yeah, sure. So I think as we discussed previously, again, I would, if it's like a pretty general question, I would first, you know, ask that people explore this product and maybe, you know, understand a bit more about what it does. But it's a sort of single use or a mono dose format of packaging, which has some advantages over the current forms of packaging, namely like the standard sachet, you know, the thermoforms, and of course, single use plastic or, you know, glass bottles, and other types of single use packaging. So it's a different type of a technology. And of course, it's got some challenges of its own in terms of cost, relatively speaking, but it has some technical advantages and aesthetic advantages, which could, you know, give a fair benefit to a lot of customers who use it. So it's something that we are developing, but it's very difficult to comment offhand on just the technology because it's you have to go like in a pretty in-depth method of understanding that product, frankly. So it's somewhat similar in to our existing business in that it is an IP-led product. It is, you know, also got a lock between the machine and the materials. So I would say like the closest equivalent would be like Tetra Pak. But of course, Tetra Pak is way, you know, bigger in terms of size and scope. So, you know, obviously the idea is to develop this product and make it a bigger product in times coming forward. I just wanted to mention, Jaideep, we've got 3-4 questions and I wanted to answer those questions. So whatever questions we've received from investors, let's address those before we start to address everyone else's questions.
Yeah, we did receive 3 questions. One was on the operating cash flow. As part of the MIS, what we prepared, we do not have an operating cash flow prepared on a division-wise basis. But all I can say is that coding and marking, which is, you know, like flagship revenue segment for our company, we've got a good cash flow generator out of it. The sales, there's no compromise on the sales price, and overall the profitability looks very good on that. Another question was asked about the employee costs to us. So we would like to say that you know, we are also in an expansion mode, and there will be obviously some kind of a increase in the salaries and also the bonuses amount or incentive amounts paid out. So we would expect a increase in the personal costs going forward as well. And one more question which was asked to us was on the margins or, you know, like the cost of goods sold, which I've already answered previously.
Okay. So just one question that what is the capacity to manufacture the machinery for the products in India and what scale-up plan about it?
Which machinery are you talking about specifically?
V-shapes, okay.
So for the V-shapes, we're going to make the materials in India. That's the idea. but the machines are still being made in Italy. My rough guesstimate is that Italy could make about 40 machines before they need some sort of expansion in space. At that point of time, you start shifting some part of the manufacturing to India, but not before. So right now we are far from selling 40 machines a year. So we'll just scale up the sales first. Then we'll deal with these other issues shortly. But yeah, that's what the thing is. And the material capacity is something that we're going to be looking at in India. We're actively working on that. But it's still in the discussion stage, still like more of a lab or development type of stage.
Okay,
Thank
all
you.
right. So that's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'll request all participants to limit the initial round to two questions. We'll take the next question from Deven Kulkarni. Deven, you can go ahead, please.
Yeah. Hi, Jaideep. Can you share the category-wise mix for Q3 sales mix?
Yeah, there is definitely. For the Q3, as you're aware, we've got revenues into four segments. One is printers, consumables, the spares, and the service. So the breakup for Q3 is 16%, 61%, 7%, and 15% for printers, consumables, spares, and services. And if you would like to have a comparative between
Okay.
the quarter two, it was 13%, 64%, 7%, and 15%.
Okay. So it seems like our consumable revenue growth has dropped sharply. It used to be around 15-16% till Q2. If I take 61% as the consumable mix, revenue growth for consumables would be hardly 10 odd percent. Is that right?
The revenue growth, you mean to say?
Yeah, the revenue growth only for the consumables part, not for the printers.
Yeah, it would be about 15%, yeah.
For the consumables.
Yeah.
Okay, so can you share the same category mix for Q3 of FY24, that is last year?
Q3 of FY24, I'll have to work and get back to you, Devin, on that.
Okay,
But I
but
can
you are saying
share.
that
I have the
in the
I can give you the previous year's breakup, which was about 16%, 61%, 8%, 15%.
Okay, ठीक है,
So
but
I'll tell you the
broad.
product. In fact, in the consumables and the printers also, each of the product also has got a different type of costing attached and a revenue attached. So this actually is a very complex question because some of the inks are high price, some of the inks are not high price, some of the printers are high price, others are not. So the way the product mix changes, it has an impact on that.
Okay, so other way to put this question is, so our total
Overall,
revenue
we
growth
did not
is
change
all
the.
around 12%, and you are saying that consumables revenue has grown at 15%. So ideally, in that scenario, our gross margins should have expanded year on year, but they have contracted by 4%. So that's where I'm not able to connect the two.
So there's been sharp increase in the number of printers sold. I mean, the delta is about, it's about 81 odd printers on the net basis. So yeah, that actually explains the mathematics.
Okay. No, but if overall revenue growth is 12 and consumables has grown at 15%, then other categories, which is largely printers, would have grown at a slower rate, right?
No, printers, like what is happening is, Devin, is that the printers, if you have an increase in the volume of printers sold, obviously, like the cost of goods sold obviously is going to be higher. And that is why the gross margins become lower. So from the last quarter, we have actually, for the printers, it was about 13%, now it is about 16%.
Okay. Okay.
If I may say something, I think the more
Yeah.
important is fundamentally there's no change in our selling prices or our cost prices. So, like Jaideep said, it's a mix of product fluctuations and, the sort of also the types of products that we are selling. So it could be within the product categories and certain other things. We don't disclose some exact numbers off upfront. It's also, like I said, there are are consolidating subsidiaries, but everyone has to understand those same businesses, the digital printing, the packaging business, which is the V-Shapes and so on, and the track and trace we also do in India as part of our standalone business. So it's like, a division within Control Print itself rather than having any separation. So a lot of times the results of those are also coming in this existing business. And we have in fact promised to give a, that's why I think there was a question on the cash flow and the profitability of the coding and marking business. And Jaideep, and like for, so we don't got the exact, I've not got the exact cash flow. I think Jaideep and we've not made that, but the profitability of the coding and marking business has increased in line with the revenues, or maybe better than that, at least on an approximate basis. That's coming from our MIS. It's not an audited type for number. So, the difference is that the additional costs are coming from certain other parts of the business, so to say. So just to give a brief overview of what's happening, I think we've discussed this in the past. I don't know how many people are new, but we've taken some new business initiatives and new divisions that we've created. And so both on a standalone basis and a consolidated basis, that's where we're seeing the differences coming from. But like I said, for me, as a, what we track is the selling prices and the manufacturing costs and those margins. Of course, the SG&A is not really tracked that closely by me, but there's no real fundamental change in the selling prices or the manufacturing costs.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Again, I want to say these are for mature products. There are some products we sell in lower volumes because we're developing them. A lot of times we even might sell them at a loss because there's a lot of, one-off costs associated with them. So just so that everyone's aware.
We'll take the next question from Saket Kapoor. Saket, you can go ahead, please.
Yeah, namaskar, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Shiva sir, if you could just allude to us the way forward as you are seeing in terms of our subsidiary performance, especially the overseas ones, how well are you in line with the program which have been scheduled by you in terms of their performance? If you could just throw some more light, where are we in terms of the 9 months and going ahead, how are we planning to execute our style of operations, especially from the subsidiary performance? If you would give us some more color on the same.
So personally, I'm happy. I think the focus right now, honestly, is mainly on CP Italy, which is our V-Shapes division, because that's much bigger than both Markprint and Codeology combined. So and both Markprint and Codeology are profitable, but we're not focusing so much on it right now because this is a much bigger business opportunity for us. But we're also working on that, and that's also improving. So the main thing is right now to ramp up the packaging machinery, in all directions. So there's many things in that. There's a technical consistency. That's the single most important thing, in my opinion. Then, the marketing part of ours is sorely lacking. So we're working on that. Maybe in this quarter, be a lot of change in that. The sales aspect was lacking. So we only hired about six, we're told about seven, maybe like seven people that we've hired, but it's all come in the last 3, 4 months only. So it's going to take another 3, 4 months minimum for them to contribute because, there's a technical aspect to it, an element for it to, for them to understand the product enough and develop those cases enough. Again, the sales cycle for these products is longer. So I can't tell everyone, what's happening exactly, but I feel the pipelines are promising both in our track and trace business and in our packaging business and also in our digital printing innovations that we've made. So I'm sort of happy because I'm going to be looking, like I said, for me, a quarterly basis or even an annual basis might not have that much meaning, but this was a planned strategy on our part to increase our long-term growth rates. The core coding business is doing well, and therefore we can afford to keep investing in other businesses. So I think, we've just got to go through this entire cycle, and it's going to take some time for it to build up to a certain size of revenue before they really contribute to the bottom line. So,
and secondly, Shiva sir, our core business domestically, what is our understanding how from our clients in terms of their utilization, capacity utilization, and the economic activity, as we see in terms of the GDP numbers and the other data, the spending from the government side is on the lower, on government spending is on the lower side. So how is this translating into the demand outlook from our key client client area, clientele industries? If you could just throw some more light, that is directly to the consumable requirement. And sir, so in terms of the print, okay, please, aap jawab de.
So we are doing well in our domestic coding and marking business. I'm talking about the coding and marking. I'm not talking about all the other parts of the business, because like I said, those are more in investment phase. But in the coding and marking business, we are doing fine. We are selling well. We are growing. And there's more acceptance of our newer products that we've come out with. So we are doing okay on all fronts, I'd say. There has been some... And like I said, from the market, you know, our Q3 results in terms of number of printer sales and everything was actually better than the first two quarters. So it could fluctuate, but we have a good pipeline right now. The main fluctuations are there on our side, mainly because, you know, we had changed our sales strategy. I don't know how many of you are aware. I said we were focusing more on larger customers only who have a certain size of business. I don't know. I think we've mentioned this in the previous con calls. So that just took some time for it to implement. Now also, it's not, I'll say, 100% implement, but, you know, maybe there's a 60-70% acceptance of what's happening, because saying something and the sales team believing in it and accepting it is a very different thing. That's my own experience, you know. So even if whatever I say, you know, it might not matter. So it's the pipeline, the domestic coding and marking pipeline is fair. And we expect it to be steady, not spectacular, but it's doing well. Then, I don't know how the GDP and the economy and all is doing, but we don't have any excuses because, you know, the market is big. In the end, you know, in between the four of us, we're only 21% market share. And from an overall market perspective, maybe we're 17% or 18%. Right? Like, maybe the market will be like 2100, 2200 crores, and we'll be like maybe ending at 400 this year. So, I don't know, someone back calculates that's like about 18% or something. So, we still have scope to grow, you know, even in terms of market share. Although it's a slow, difficult growth, as we all know in this type of business, but it's possible.
The last point you mentioned about shift in the strategy part, addressing clients with higher market share, higher volume of business. If you could just explain, sir, what have been the impact on our sales and therefore the bottom line, just if you could just elaborate more on the same.
No, so I think it's obviously the idea is to target the larger customers, because in India, the large customers still control a high percentage of the addressable market because they still have control of, you know, access to the kiranas, to the smaller stores, and, you know, even to the modern trade where they have a lot more stores, I think. So because those brands are well known. So we are working more on those companies because, you know, our service levels, our, you know, printer quality, you know, everything is geared more towards the customer who has a high, you know, who's demanding. So the more demanding the customer is, the better it is for us. And that improves our competitive edge. So that's where the strategies had a shift. And it's working successfully for us now is what I feel. So I think even in the first few months, it was, it took some time for everything to settle in. But now it's beginning to pick up. Like I said, you know, things are getting more streamlined. And like I said, there is an effect because bigger customers have, you know, or, you know, mid to big size customers just have a longer sales cycle. So, you know, it's taking us more time to conclude a sale. The sale is in a higher number of printers. So overall, it doesn't negatively affect us. But you know, it's more lumpy. That's what I'll say. It can be changed more from quarter to quarter as compared to when you have a good amount of smaller customers, so that evens things out.
Right, sir. So thank you. And for the innovative coding one, the small acquisition which was our first acquisition few years ago, how have been their performance, and what steps are we taking to improve their size and their contribution to the company?
So Jaydeep, you want to take that one?
Yeah, why not? Innovative course, we've got a strong growth in the revenue. In fact, it is 36% as compared to the previous quarter. If the last year's turnover was just about 10 crores, which we've actually done by in the 9 months. So it augurs well for that company. With a little bit of management of costs in a focused way, the profitability also should be better by the end of the year. So we are doing very well with innovative codes.
Thank you.
Thank you,
thank you,
Sankar.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, thank you.
We'll take the next question from Bhavesh Rathod.
Yes, I am audible.
Yes, you are.
Yes, Bhavesh this side. Good afternoon, everyone. So, company has recently incorporated a wholly owned subsidiary in UAE. So, what are markets which we intend to cater in via this entity, and how?
So again, this is mainly a sales outlet for us for the Middle East and Africa. As of right now, it's a very thin staff type of a thing. And that's what the plan is. It's not to plan to have like a full-fledged operation there. It's mainly to cater to the Middle East and Africa only. Because we have some sales there. And it's because our sales are increasing in that region, we need to streamline some. Because from exporting from India is a big pain sometimes, you know, because of the amount of paperwork involved for every single sale. So maybe we're going to use it as a more financial type of a make it easier to just make things faster. Plus, having a salesperson or two out there will make a difference in terms of the increasing the sales output in that region. So it's just for an extension of our. You know, think of it as an extra branch of ours rather than a real subsidiary of sorts.
Okay, so it's basically a demand-based supply, I guess, right, sir?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and so are we going to have all exclusive contracts as well, or only will be inclusive?
I don't understand that at all. I didn't understand that question. Just explain that, please.
So are we going to have exclusive contracts from them, or is it a normal contract?
No, it's
the same as we just sell machine, we sell printers, they buy inks, everything is there. Exactly the same as the India business. Price points are higher, costs are higher, so it all evens out in the end. And from there also we plan to support the Africa business, and we have some printers and some sales in Africa. So yeah. I think it's just easier to get shipments and, other types of things done because the amount of paperwork out here is like 10 times more. That's all.
Okay. Okay. So, and the consolidated top line quarter on quarter basis seems to be mostly flat. So, however, the 9 month position shows a growth of around 17 to 18%. So, what shall be expected top line for FY24, sir?
It's too early to say.
I think we had said that we're targeting 400 crores for a standalone. That was again, something we had said that this is what we were looking at. But on a consolidated basis, we don't have any targets, and we're not giving anything out because these are mainly the consolidated mini businesses that we're still in the growth phase. So it's really difficult. It's more about establishing those product lines, establishing those businesses, and then seeing how we do out there.
Thanks, okay. Thanks, Bhavesh. We'll take the next question from Arnav Sahuja. Arnav, please go ahead.
Hi. Congrats on a strong set of results. So I just have two questions. So what has been the OCF and FCF generation in the 3 months and the 9 months of this year?
So I think, that question was asked already on email. We gave a reply to that, Arnav.
Okay.
And we said that we've not calculated the profitability or the OCF overall. Like we don't disclose that because I think it's disclosed every 6 months or 12 months. So whenever we audit it, we'll give it out. But we did say that the profitability of the coding and marking business, because that question was asked, is higher it's increased in line with the revenue of the coding and marking business or higher. And we expect that the operating cash flow of that business would have also increased in line. Again, the way our FICO is structured in SAP, it's not that easy to clarify this. So, someone will have to do a real deep dive. So, again, I won't give those types of numbers, but the way our MIS is structured, again, I'm saying it depends on, you know, the way, the type of reporting that we have.
Yeah.
Well, coding and marking business has improved in both revenue and profitability, you know, and it's been in line in spite of some higher costs, which Jaideep has, you know, told specifically in travel and other types of expenses for some
yeah.
reason. We have to go into that in depth because we also don't know why those costs have suddenly like spiked up so much in this year. So it's a concern for us also. Part of those costs are also because there are other new business lines that are being there. And, you know, we also said that the margin concerns are related to that. So again, the cash flow from core operation, we believe is steady. You know, again, like I said, I don't have the exact numbers for that,
yeah.
but it's steady. And then
yeah.
there could be, so the operating cash flow could be steady. And then, you know, it part of what we do in new businesses could also be part of revenue, but it could also be part of an investment. So it could be looked at both ways, you know. So it's
right.
like, that's something that obviously you all have to consider from your own angle.
So just following up a bit about, you know, the subsidies that you were mentioning. So, you know, we saw pretty good revenue momentum in these subsidies, but, you know, is there any timeline during which we can expect the employee costs and other expenses to just settle down a bit for these subsidies? Is there any information?
So that question was raised, it was written to us. So I think Jaideep is going to answer, but we're expecting, you know, in our standalone business for
okay.
an 8 to 10 crore increase in, you know, wages and associated costs like travel and whatever other stuff, you know, their SAP licenses and whatever happens
yeah.
next. So that's what our standalone is. For, you know, subsidiaries, it's very difficult for us to predict because I'll be very honest, like, you know, people abroad cost significantly more, you know, and so we are more slow in the way we're hiring them. As of right now, in the packaging industry, you know, we've got three salespeople and, you know, Christian himself, like, you know, our like head who also, you know, is quite deeply involved in that aspect.
Yeah.
And in India and Africa, we have like four salespeople in the Gulf. So, you know, between this, we want to first stabilize with this many. And we have a head out here also of our packaging business. So we want to stabilize first, you know, before we really ramp up and say that I'll get people in South America and North America and Japan. You get my point. So,
yeah.
But I don't know if I'm going to do that or not, right? It all depends on how I'm seeing the pipeline going and evolving. My idea is not to, you know, generate profits. My idea is to scale up fast, but also, you know, not be a bit rash about it. So, like, you know, first get things right in these two geographies where we already have the strongest presence and coverage, and then scale up. So that's what the idea would be. In the track and trace business, again, it's a similar type of situation where we are scaling up out here in India. And, you know, that's also working out promising. Like the pipeline out there is also quite promising. In the digital printing, we've had some sort of technical glitches. So, you know, we've got good interest, but we need to be working out some last minute hassles, I can say, you know, to... everything has to work perfectly, you know, otherwise this whole business is useless in our case. So it seemed like everything should work perfectly, but, you know, sometimes it can take longer than what we expect. That's the only problem. So that's what it is. But again, like I'd say, so as far as especially the packaging business goes, we would want to, you know, if we're feeling we're doing well in that, we're going to just scale up our operations faster. And there's no obligation for us to make money, is to grow that business as fast as possible so we can maximize the opportunity. But right now, we don't see like a good visibility within Europe and, you know, India, Gulf, Africa, which is the area we're covering, even South Asia. We're not going to like really scale that business up in terms of, you know, adding like another 15, 20 salespeople abroad, like who are going to cost us a bomb and, you know, supported operations, you know, because... everything for us to make a sample actually costs us a lot of money, to be honest. And like, we have to give 100 samples to someone, like that's a huge cost to me, because to get the printing done, to get everything done, to do the quality test, cost me like a lot of money. So like I said, we want to make sure that we've got everything correct here before we say that, you know, we are ready to really, you know, take this up and we focus more on our core geographies there. So increasing, including the coding and marking business. That's what we're expecting. And abroad, we're not giving any predictions or in our subsidies because, you know, it's going to we're going to have to take it month by month and see what's happening. But as of right now, I'd say like, yeah, we have all the people we need for right now. But if we feel we're doing better, we don't have any problems increasing.
Okay, thanks a lot. Just one clarification. I didn't catch the sales mix of Q3 FY25 properly. If you could just repeat that, that would be great. But for Q3 and Q2 as well.
I didn't get your question, Arnav. Can you just repeat
So you had mentioned the sales mix of between printer, consumables, spares, services. Yeah, just.
Arnav. So for Q3, between the printers, consumables, spares, and services, it is 16%, 61%, 7, and 15%. And for Q2, it was 13%, 64%, 7%, and 15%.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Arnav. We'll take the next question from Aruna Munukoti.
Hey, hi, Jaydeep, and hi, Shiva. Good afternoon, everyone. I have very basic, simple questions. The first question is like, which company is giving us the top competition when it comes to our core business, like coding and marking? Is there any publicly listed company giving us top competition or any private company? Which company do you consider as the top competitor?
You want to answer this, Jaideep? But I think
Yeah.
it's been all the previous calls, Videojet, but especially Domino's the number one in India. And then Videojet, Mark Image, and Control Print about equal in size. So you can say like we are the four major players. Domino's got about a 30% market share. And we have between the four of us about 80% of the coding and marking business of India. And Domino's about 30%, and then the others between us are like between 21, 22, 23, something like that. So it's just and slightly yeah, that's sort of what the situation. So I'd say Domino Printing Sciences, Videojet India, and Mark
Imagine.
Image.
Imagine.
Yeah, these are the three key competitors.
Oh, great, great. Thanks for answering. And then my next question is, what is that one thing that we are doing differently when we compare ourselves with our competitors for our core segment, like coding and printing again? Is there something that we are doing differently when compared with them? If so, then what is that?
So everyone has some variations in strategy. Like I said, I think we focus on some slightly different product lines, but all of us have a full range of products and a full range of services. So all of us are full suite players, so to say. Now, of course, I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying it, but you know, like there can be various car companies with different strategies, but largely they're covering similar things. So obviously and I'm quite sure that we give a superior experience. I know that for sure. But you know, in the end, in our business, the products are quite sticky. So you know, change is slow to come. And but we believe we've got like a good product lineup, a great technology lineup, and we've got the best service and technical team out there to support that. And now we've come to the more targeted sales strategy rather than being all over the place. And hopefully, you know, that will you know, the sales and marketing will measure up to the you know, and give just you know, give justice to the quality of our products and innovation and our service team and their efforts, you know. So hopefully if that catches up, then we could increase our market share.
Right. That makes sense. That makes sense. Like my next question is like, do you anticipate any challenges or like negatives for the upcoming quarters for our company? Like anything that you're anticipating?
I think we've been quite straightforward that the coding and marking business looks steady, looks okay, and other businesses are, of course, scaling up, so nobody can see anything. You know, when they mature, we'll talk about them more. But right now, our message to all investors and shareholders is transparent that it's still a growth phase for us, it's still an investment phase for us, and you know, we'll obviously there has to be a timeline to it, like Mr. Saket Kapoor and other people have said, but we'll definitely. Would like to scale up, you know, and hit a certain size, and that's when we start focusing more and then the margin part. So we look more at the gross margins. We want to maintain our gross margins in the business, considering we're doing a certain volume. So that's like something we don't really compromise upon. So the idea is always that, you know, even if this business becomes 100 crores, the gross margin should remain a certain percentage. We're talking to say 60% or 65% or 55, whatever it may be, 50%. You know, so that should remain from day one. It might not be that way because a lot of times we have high costs when the volumes are low. both on the cost of goods sold and in terms of the actual sales, like, you know, other expenses. But the idea is that as that business scales up, it should have a pretty good profile and, you know, be a positive for us. But, you know, whether it's going to scale up or not, how long is it going to take to scale up, if it's going to scale up, all these sorts of things, these are, like, you know, unknowns.
So my last question is like,
Aruna, please, may I request you to rejoin the queue, please? And I request all the participants to restrict their questions to two per participant. We'll take the next question from Riddhima Goyal.
Hello. Hi. Am I audible?
Yes, Riddhima.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So I have two questions. First question is, would it be possible for you guys to share the financials of your acquisitions? Like, how much is the top line and what are the EBITDA margins, the existing, the top line and the margins? And what is the synergy benefits we are going to, like, what would be the growth and the margins we are expecting from these acquisitions? That's number one.
Yeah, so I think Jaideep, you can answer this question.
Whilst we consolidated the results of all of the subsidiaries, we do not have a practice, neither any of the companies have a practice of releasing the financial statements. But in case you would like to have a specific question regarding any of our subsidiaries, please feel free to write to me at cfo@controlprint.com. We'll be able to resolve your queries at the earliest convenience.
Okay, no problem. Thank you. So next is the margins which we have in the quarter three. Is it a one-off thing, or we can expect that going forward these are the sustainable margins which we can expect in the next few quarters?
Yeah, as Shiva had said that, there has been no compromise as such on the selling prices. The only thing is that, some of the cost of goods sold can become, cyclical in nature. But we definitely, as part of the senior management, we take a hard look at, the cost of goods sold and the consumption. And we are definitely trying to increase our economy efficiency and effectiveness of operations. So, there might be, changes, but overall, we feel that, we should be able to control it in a better way.
So we can expect like the margins can revert back to 24-25% levels.
Definitely. But what has happened is that, we've got a subsidiary in Italy, which we've already mentioned. They are in a growth phase. In fact, we are trying to support them, and try to establish their teams, trying to spruce up their sales and promotional activities. So, this is an investment phase for us in that company, as a result of which, the revenues might be on the lower side, but there will be costs. So we are clearly looking at a long-term prospects and the increase in the revenue. So that's the reason why, you feel like on a consolidated basis, our margins have dropped down now.
No, that I know that it has dropped down because of those reasons, but I'm asking the future prospects, like will it going to be at these levels, like 22%, or it can reach to 24-25% or 26%, which we have in the earlier quarters?
No, we definitely would like to reach that levels. I mean, at the end of the day, we want to have a stable profitability or margin. So we definitely look forward to doing that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just one last question. Will it be possible for you guys to share the exact mix of the end user industry? Like, what is the FMCG mix or what is your dairy mix exactly? Like, you shared top five industries, but what would be the, in terms of percentage, like how much the sales are being done to most of them?
See, Riddhima, as Shiva has pointed out, I mean, we work in the oligopoly where just four of us, dominate about 80% of the market. And we don't divulge sales related information like that. So, that's what I mean. We can't divulge much into that.
Thank you. Riddhima, may I request you to rejoin the queue? Yeah. We'll take the next question from Shaurya Punyani.
Hi, I'm audible.
Yeah, you are.
Yes, sir. Regarding that Italy subsidiary, so could you quantify as to what is the revenue potential, some ballpark range?
So Shaurya, it's a new type of product, you know. So obviously it could be very high, it could be a flop. Like it's not possible for us to say it.
Okay.
You know, so it's obviously we are done. You know, everyone has, high ambitions and hopes when you do something. What's going to happen is a different type of a business, you know. So let's see, you know, whether we're able to move along as we are. You know, I think someone asked this question, I don't remember, earlier, and I pointed out that we are also rolling out in stages because, A, we don't have the capacity to, you know, have the management bandwidth for every single thing. You know, I think it might have been Arnav, if I remember right his name. And I said that, you know, we don't have the management bandwidth for every single thing. Neither do we want to just take on a whole bunch of costs and, you know, go all helter-skelter. Whether we can afford it or not is a separate thing, you know. We want to make it, we want to sort of really put our strategy in properly. You know, perfect everything in these markets and then take it forward. So it's going to take some time to scale up, but you know, so far what I can say is like there's good interest in the product, which is to me the single most important thing. You know, it's an innovation. We have to understand that people are already invested in the existing technology, you know, and to change a platform is not easy, especially when it costs more, which is another problem on a per unit basis. But there is interest, so it. You know, but interest versus sales, you know, versus profits, and you know, these are like different things what I've seen in life in the past. So I won't see anything. Let's just keep rolling it along, and you know, maybe by the end of the next financial year, we'll have a better idea of where we really stand. You know, so like about 15 minutes from months from now is probably where we'll understand. So 29th March is when we actually took over V-Shapes. And in the first 6 months, we've been getting things in order, and I'll say like literally maybe from October, November has been winning real work in terms of sales and other types of things. You know, that's what my own feeling is. There were like many gaping holes because we bought it from liquidation, and just to get things streamlined has taken us time both in India and in Italy and wherever else we have our operations.
Okay, sir. And so, is it possible to give a segment-wise margin, like?
Are you talking about the coding and marking business, which, I mean, so that I understand, our margins are the
Coding
same.
market.
Our products, our selling prices are the same, irrespective of which industry we sell in. So, and our costs. So roughly our margins, whether we sell in the coding and marking business, we still do about 60 to 70, 65% industrial, 35 to 40% packaging, but the margins are the same across board. In fact, the industrial might be a bit higher, because we do more specialized inks and more, you know, more weird requirements, so to say. Like, I mean, I don't know, more specializations, more customizations, more interfacing, more everything, like less plain vanilla stuff, where our margins are just a touch lower, you know. So the more specialty inks, the more weird things we do, the, you know, we charge a little bit extra.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Shaurya. We'll take the next question from Tushar Talwar.
Am I audible?
Yes, Tushar.
Yeah. Thank you. Sir, two main questions, slightly detailed ones. So, my first question is that on sales strategy, you have mentioned that, you know, in the last 1 year or so, we have revamped our sales strategy.
So one second, if you can just redo this, Tushar, because I think you're getting some sort of a humming sound that's coming. If you can just check your mic one second and redo this. Or there's a humming sound coming. I don't know. Is it better now?
Yeah, Tushar, it is better now.
Okay. So on the sales strategy, I wanted to ask that, you know, you have mentioned that we have revamped our sales strategy in the last year or so. My specific question is that are we vacating the lower end of the market? And I'm asking this specifically because, you know, in the last year or so, we've seen another listed company in this space called Astec Fluids. And, you know, it seems to me when I read the con calls of both the companies, it seems like Control Print is, you know, focusing on the larger clients, the bigger clients. And, you know, there is some space which is being vacated, which is being taken up by these smaller companies. My specific question is, do we think that these younger companies, you know, may eventually start overlapping with our new strategy and change the structure of the oligopolistic market that we participate in? This is my first question. My second question, sir, is on
So I
Codeology.
request you to hold your second question, because I'll answer your first question first, otherwise I'll forget your first question by the time the second question comes. So
Sure.
specifically, yes, that space is being vacated. Yes, you're correct about that. We do have some very good products for that space, but we don't have the bandwidth to service and sell to that many customers without increasing our sales or service force. It would be profitable, but then the management bandwidth would be a question, especially since we're doing new products and new industries. The second thing is these products that we put in are very sticky. And like I said, I don't know if you were there earlier, the more demanding the customer, the higher our competitive advantage, both in the industrial segment and in the standard segment. And not only across compared to smaller companies, I can guarantee that even across Videojet, Domino, Markem-Imaje, Margin, Control Print, the more difficult, the more challenging the application, the bigger the competitive advantage we have. So far, my experience of 30 years is, I mean, whatever, like my, I mean, this has been okay, like close to 20 years since 2025. But my experience of that, and from what I understand, is that, the four of us have always maintained that 80% market share. The reason being that the cost factor is frankly quite low in terms of, the spend for the customer. And, in the end, those customers have more expensive lines. They have higher costs. So I think that the way people are thinking now, Tushar, is changing. So, when I used to work myself, I used to be, I was like on frontline sales and marketing, right in the beginning of my career. And people are very focused on the cost of the ink and the cost of the printer. And it was really about like cost, 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 and price, price, price. And, since about the last 10 years, it's changed. It changed to reliability. And now people are also calculating the operational efficiency and the cost of downtime, So we're actually having some cases where we're changing the equipment because the maintenance time of the existing equipment might be 1%, and the maintenance of the new equipment might cost you like 0.5% or like less than that. So for that person, if I have 500 manufacturing lines, for example, and I can improve my efficiency even 1.5% by just changing a coding and marking device, that's like adding 8 extra lines, which is almost like a factory, So the way people are thinking now with these larger customers is different. To be honest, and I'm not getting into specific competitors, the Chinese printers are not bad. They've definitely improved. Before we were at 98%, they were at 95% efficiency, and that was a huge amount for a printer. Now we are like, so we last measured, you're like 99.47% uptime, which is like the highest according to me in the entire industry. And the Chinese guys would be maybe at 98%, 97, 98. So the gap is closed in terms of percentage terms, but there's still a gap. And for people who, like I said, if you've got something like an internet connection to save a few hundred bucks, or even a few thousand rupees, you're not gonna take 1% downtime is 3 days of working. That's what I'll say. So you have to think of like your factories on for 3 additional days without working. And that's the way these types of customers are calculating now. There's a 1.5% downtime is a big difference. And then they're all locked in. They've been trained on our printers, they've been trained on the inks, and the same thing for Domino Videojet MR. So unless people have a big issue, nobody wants to change. You're already in an ecosystem, it's working. And honestly, considering the small cost differences, which again are not validated, people don't want to change, from that. And it's like also the soft aspects of it. So again, because you asked a question, I'm giving a detailed reply. There is, our levels of training, the technical level of our people, the amount we pay people, because we that's why that's also one of the things we have to invest in. So, it's just like a difference between going to an Oberoi versus another 5-star. The level of training or discipline in that will just give you a different experience. And then, for those customers who are experienced to that in this type of a situation, they will value this, and surely, I think that what we've seen is a lot of stickiness. We've not lost that many customers ever, and that too never to smaller competitors. If our types of customers who have issues, whether between the four of us, the last thing they want to do is take risks and go to a smaller person.
Understood. Understood, Shiva. Thank you so much. I have more follow-ups on that, but I'll ask them later. I'll ask my
I'm just
second question
going
now.
to point out one more thing. So what's happened
Yeah.
abroad? I just want to conclude this question so that it's there. I hope
Please,
everyone,
please.
please read the con call before coming for the next investor call, because I feel like a lot of times I'm repeating the same things again and again to everyone. So I'm just going to repeat this also. What's happening abroad is that there's a change in industry structure. Okay, so what's happened is that the big companies are not that focused on manufacturing, and there's a lot of small brands. So the microbreweries are growing. the small organic companies supplying local markets. So those types of things are growing. So out there, there's a fragmentation of manufacturing. In India, so far, I have not seen, I don't know, other people like that actually having lost market share per se. So as a result, now obviously if the business changes, guys like Finolex, Polycab, Havells, and all start losing market share, and there's a bunch of smaller cable guys or a bunch of, see, it that could affect us, and then in that case, the Astec strategy would work. Or I'm saying like those smaller competitors would, maybe gain overall market share. So right now in India, from whatever I have seen, obviously this is my own view, that the big guys still seem to have some entrenched advantages. And Asian Paints hasn't been dislodged in a long time, in spite of new competitors coming. Their margins might reduce, but I don't see like Asian Paints or Berger going anywhere, for example. So, but if the industry structure changes, if there is a change, so it's going more towards smaller brands, it's fragmenting, then definitely we'll have to take a look at that strategy once again.
I understand, Shiva. Thank you so much. That's a lot of nuance there. My second question was on Codeology, and I just wanted to ask that, we don't talk about Codeology all that much. We talk about Italy. We've talked about Markprint in the past in past phone calls. And my main question here was that, why do we have only 51% here? Do we plan to acquire full ownership? And what is the larger plan for this entity? Is it only for like entry into the UK market, or do we have larger plans there?
Yeah, so I'm gonna take all those questions. So the first thing is 51% was strategic. What we realized from past experiences was that we don't want to buy out the existing people. We want to work with them on a 3, 5, 7 year plan, where maybe they can exit depending on how we grow in the meantime, and how what sort of targets we achieve. I can't say more than that, because beyond that, you got a basic idea of what I'm trying to say, if you understand what I.
I get it. I get it. But are we seeing any progress there?
Yeah, so they are busy. That's why we've not worked much on them, because so Codeology, the reason, again, the strategic rationale is they're mainly into end of line automation. Okay, so the
Got it.
conveyors, print and apply systems, the strapping systems, the other types of stuff that happens end of line, that's what they supply in the UK. And that also fits in very well with our printers and track and trace systems for the end of line. So that was one thing. And the second thing is they also make print and apply systems, which are actually of value to us. So we're in fact working in a few cases. Like the print and apply systems is a bit of a hole in our portfolio. So again, for Videojet, Domino, and Markem-Imaje, maybe 20 to 30 crore of their business is coming from print and apply. We are not in that business. And of course, I'm not saying they're going to do it because we started, because obviously we're later in the game. But there's an opportunity to scale up that business also. So that is one of the reasons we purchased it, because to develop something in-house and do the whole learning process, and I mean it's just cheaper to buy, I'll be very honest. And like at this price is buy, buy experience, things that work from day one and then improve upon it. So I think that's something we're getting. We are working on some print and apply cases also, where our conventional equipment doesn't work on certain irregular non-porous materials. That's where we're sort of working with them to provide those types of solutions. And if you're successful, then you start manufacturing equipment in India also. So that's the so there's like a technology that we wanted to add in. And the other thing is, like you said, it's an outlet, which is sort of combined with the existing end of line automation business. Because out there also there's an environmental focus and a cost focus, and that would automatically mean that replacing labels with high res in the existing line is a benefit for the customer and for the environment out there. That's a reasonable factor.
Right. So we have no obstacles to using their technology in other geographies.
No, not at all.
Okay. And that's all from my end, Shiva. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Tushar. We'll take the next question from Avanindra Singh. Avanindra, please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, Avan.
So Shiva, just continuing on from the previous participants, when we look at putting our standalone business aside, it's a stable business, it'll continue to grow. as the industry grows, we can sort of, there'll be ups and downs given how the product mix fits. But if we look at some of our investments that we've done over the last couple of years, I know you've touched on them. If you could just sort of highlight a little bit more on track and trace. I understand that, you know, we've built the technology in-house and we've been working with some of the, at least the pharmaceutical manufacturers, given the government initiatives on those 760 molecules that they wanted track and trace on. So where are we in terms of technology? Are you happy with where we are? Is there potential scope to continue evolving that? And you spoke about a pipeline, but if you could just highlight a little bit more on sort of how that's panning out.
So again, in the track and trace space, you know, we are working very aggressively. I'm not going to talk about stuff that's in there because whatever we do with any customer is confidential. But we are working on some of those 300 drugs, or the 300 brands rather, that have been put in by the government as the top 300 brands in India. We're working with a significant number of them for implementing them online. So again, I'm going to say it again. So track and trace has gone through four phases. You know, so the first phase was there were specific export requirements where they required you know, to put the 2D code, or you know, the data. It was that time a GS1 data matrix, not a QR code, as per the requirement of some foreign buyers for specific drugs. So that was the first phase, and you know, two companies in India were dominating. I think everyone knows Associated Capsules Group, and there's another one that was there. So they sell vision systems, so they were dominating that market. Then the second phase came, and more customers required it, and it stopped being a very niche product and expanded in size. And it was required in a certain amount of export markets like France, Turkey, and a few others, and specific products. Then the third phase came, you know, which is right now, and you know, it started being implemented within India itself. And you know, 300 brands or whatever have been mandated by the government, and you know, it could be that they might even expand it. You know, now that it's proven that it can work. So that's the third phase. Now what's going to happen is the fourth phase, you know, and we're late because we won then the first two phases. And the third phase also, we came in late in the day because by the time we finished our acquisition, we rolled out, a lot of those existing 300 brands had already tied up with specific people because obviously, you know, if you have a deadline, you don't want to wait till the last day of the deadline if you're a sort of whatever, a well-run company, if you will. Now what happened is, so now the fourth phase is where people are going to start consolidating various existing solutions and trying to start standardizing. And then the fifth phase is when they're going to start using all this data to actually improve their business. So we are already focusing on the fifth phase and the fourth. And so we are working on the third, fourth, and fifth phases combined. And we have already generated certain IP out here. Again, we filed three key patents in this. I'm going to talk about it here because it's quite technical. But those are patents that we are working with like two or three. We can say we're like one or three or four large pharma companies. We need to implement this and show proof of concept. And if they're going to get the type of benefits that we believe that they're
That's
going to get, something for us to. Sorry, what happened? Oh, I heard something.
there
No,
is some
continue,
other
Shiva.
parts.
No. So I think if we implement, you know, this and we show proof of concept, then you know it will be something for existing pharmaceutical companies to consider as they start wanting to consolidate their lines for ease of use, you know, in consolidating their software. Right now, again, like what I'm saying, the first three phases have been pure compliance. The fourth phase, which is consolidating, is also going to be compliance. The fifth phase is actually going to give the customer benefits. So we need to prove that part. We need to prove that we're in stage five, even as we're implementing stage three for customers. So if we don't do that, we're not going to be successful. Or we'll be successful because of control print and the distribution and the service and all the other things. But we have a strong tech platform here. So obviously I know that if, you know, and a company like ACG, for example, who's the number one in this business, they're good. You know, I won't say there's nothing incompetent about them at all. It's similar to Domino, Videojet, and Nimaj. So if we don't offer like 40% more, at least in terms of benefit to the customer, 50%, why someone is going to want to change us? So we're confident that we offer more than that. But we need to prove it, and each project out here is, you know, I mean, honestly, this is like quicksand or something. So you just go in, and it just becomes deeper and deeper. So that's definitely an issue for us. That's why we're doing some projects which you've not been able to invoice as yet because there are many requirements, there are many types of automation that are happening. But I think, you know, once we have those types of references out, again, even the pharmaceutical industry, a lot of people know other people. And if, you know, there is a thing that, you know, we have resolved some of their actual business issues with our solution, then I believe that we'll get some sort of pick up maybe in market. So again, we're not hitting every company because there's a limited amount of installation, bandwidth, and proof of concept that we can do. It's something we need to improve upon. I'm going to work on that. That's also going to be part of that cost of that 8-10 crore increase that we talked about. But yeah, something we need to do, and we've got a good solution, and we've got some about 3 patents filed in our around our track and trace division, and we think all of them are going to be very useful in the long term.
No, I appreciate that. Just two basic add-ons to this. In terms of solution offerings, is it similar to coding and marking when there are handful of solution providers, or is it slightly larger in terms of how many players are there offering trace and track in its various formats? And sort of the other add-on is, you know, pharmaceuticals it's a critical need for that industry. But as we move into some of the other industries like FMCG, at what point do you think the cost benefit is there to those players that they want to start implementing track and trace in their systems as well?
Yeah, so that's a very good point. So what I'll say is that there's two or two, three elements to it. The first aspect is that, you know, where we were talking about, okay, this is what it is. For the track and trace business, what's required again is, you know, that people are implementing the solution. And like I said, we've got a certain IP or whatever it is. Once we get that done, you know, then we can look at, so what we're doing in other businesses outside of pharmaceuticals is going more for a pre-packaged solution. And that's sort of easy for us to sell to other things because they're not going to pay the same amount of money that the pharmaceutical guys do. And the compliance needs are not there. So they don't need to, they're not being forced to invest in the same level of system. Is that the right? I don't know. The same level of system that the pharmaceutical guys are doing. So I think there's a clear breakup. Obviously, for us, pharmaceutical is the bigger business right now, so that's what we're focused upon. But definitely, as we can scale it up, and if we can approach other, you know, with the sort of more pre-packaged solution to other types of industries, there could be a pickup and a take-up that we can have. There was one part of the question that I'm missing. If you can just repeat that again,
Yeah,
the very
it was
first
just
part.
around how many participants are there in track and trace or the various
Yeah.
solutions. Is it similar to coding and marking, or
So
is it slightly
the two
larger?
biggest ones are, no, so there are more players, but we are the only integrated player from end to end. And that's our advantage. So we
Okay,
make the software,
understood.
we have the vision systems, we have obviously the printing. The printing is, you know, I mean, so that's a very strong integration that we're doing that nobody else can do it at that level. And of course we have the entire downward integration and the you know, sort of integration with their ERP systems. So there's multiple things we're doing out here. And, you know, that is where we expect that the customers to get a major benefit compared to our competitors. There are more players, but then again, everyone is in a different part of the business and they're making some sort of software. And what I can say is the amount of sophisticated guys who have a really good software, which is integrated well, will still be like about four.
Understood. Understood. And just sort of my last, yeah, I just want to
Sorry,
add one more.
sorry, sorry, Amanindra. We are running out of time.
Sure.
We'll take the last question of the day from Ashutosh Khetan. Ashutosh, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to know the numbers of printers sold in this quarter and the current capacity utilization.
So we've sold 762 printers in this quarter.
Okay, and the capacity utilization for the quarter?
So we are roughly about 60 to 65% of the capacity utilization.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ashutosh. I'll hand over this floor to Vinay. Vinay?
Thanks. Since that was the last question for the day, we have one more request in the chat from Bhavesh Rathod to ask one question. Bhavesh, you can go ahead and ask your last question.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir. So my question for regarding was about the industry. So industry, as in we have different segments and different printers. As if now we and other peers as well, how does we create moat? Like everyone outsources from China and assembles here or their specific regions. Yeah, definitely service is the main key, but apart from the how Control Print differentiates from others.
Yeah, sure. You want to take this question?
No, I'm sorry. I was on mute. Can you repeat that question again, please? Is what I was saying.
Okay, so I'll resume in short. So I was asking ki how Control Print creates a moat apart from other peers, since we everyone outsources it from China and assembles in their specific regions. So what does Control Print does different from other peers, and what they will do to execute in a better way as well?
No, so like I said, I think that it in our coding marking business comes to uptime. Comes to different types of technologies, and you know we've got some technologies where we believe we've got a significantly better offering than our competitors. So I think you know definitely there's a you know a big uptake of this, you know, and I think we've got some competitive advantage. I think some people have asked that question. Like I said, you know, our entire service, our technical aspects, the product range, the depth of certain products especially are a competitive advantage. And like I said, you know, I think not only that, I like I've always mentioned in the past, I think, you know, all three competitors, Domino, Markem-Imaje, and Videojet, also have good solutions. So, we've all proven the test of time, you know. I think if you ask me personally, that's what I believe. You know, I'm not a customer, so every customer is always the correct person to ask. But, I think we've proven that, you know, we have something extra compared to the existing, you know, the other service providers were smaller or something. And, you know, that's the reason we've been able to, continue growing, over a more extended period of time.
Okay. So just last follow-up question. So recently one SME company got listed, that is, I guess, Astec Machinery. So any positive or negative impact which can Control Print face for them?
I think this exact question was covered by someone earlier. I can't remember
Yeah.
who it was.
Bhavesh, this
And
question has already been answered. Yeah.
okay, so we'll check in other calls. Okay.
That brings us to the end of today's call. Shiva or Jaideep, would you like to give any closing comments before we end the call?
Yeah,
I just
thank you
want to
so much.
thank everyone
Yes.
for joining and thanks everyone for their time. If you know, we got three or four questions by email. If someone does it, I've got one question on the chat also about some things about you know the bankruptcy of V-Shapes or other things. So I'm just like you know again like I can't answer confident individual questions. You know, I think I hope everyone respects that. I've not. I don't take that many one-on-ones with any investor either. So really, I prefer that everyone sends their questions if they have any on advance. We'll definitely try to address them or put them in the presentation itself, or you know, rather than giving privileged access to some people. There are a couple of questions about Christian Buratini and some. So again, if you want, we can just post those questions in general. We'll definitely answer them. If anything is non-confidential, we do not have anything. The shareholding pattern has not been disclosed. I don't know if someone can answer that. I think that this is a regulatory disclosure, this is a standard, so I don't know why that would not have happened, must have happened. So yes. So just yeah, if anyone puts those questions, we'll do it. If someone can send any questions you have in advance, whether it's related to the specific quarter or a general business, then we'll try to address that in the presentation and the questions, you know, to the extent possible. So I hope everyone you know, gets their questions answered. And if people can, you know, read some of the previous con calls and presentation, then you know what happens. Like, I think sometimes there's some repetition. So I would like that, you know, if you have that 1.5 hours, then, you know, it's not just repeating stuff that we repeated in the same con call and the same, you know, past, whatever transcripts, if you will, at least in the last 2, 3, if possible. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for joining.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to all the participants for joining on the
Yeah,
call.
thank you, everybody. Thanks.
And thank you to the management team for giving us their time. This brings us to the end of today's conference call. You may all disconnect. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.